God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Oh God, you are our rock and our redeemer. God, I invite you once again to speak through me and in spite of me. May my words contain your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wanted to direct your attention to the hymnal. I wanted to say one quick thing first about it. We have to continue to remind ourselves of this because we all have opinions, right? We all have favorites. We all have music that we like to listen to that are that's like we consider our music. You know, maybe your music is now called oldies. And maybe you think, how in the world could it be oldies? Because it sure wasn't all that long ago, right? But we have to remind ourselves when we come to worship that the reason why we sing these songs, the reason why we choose the music, or the reason why is not because we like it, right? And sometimes we get kind of caught up in that. Well, that's not my favorite, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not about you. It's about your worshiping God. Now, it's nice if you like it. It's nice as if it's familiar, if it brings back good memories. All of those things are wonderful. But the reason is we're singing songs in worship to God. Part of the reason why church is because we were created to worship. There's something in us that's restless until we rest in God, until we find our home. And so for many of us, these songs contain these cherished moments, these verses that have become our home. We're reminded of the scriptures through them. But I wanted to call your attention to something that happens in our hymnal, in your hymnal, before the hymns come. And there's this thing that is from 1761, and it is directions for singing. Now, maybe you've seen these before. They are hilarious, and some of them are, you know, you know, sing exactly as they're printed here without altering or mending them at all. We're going to alter them and mend them some, not too much. It says, sing all, you know, join the congregation. It's frequently, I like this one, sing lustily and with good courage. Be aware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift your voice with strength. And this is kind of, be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. Remember when we sang the songs of... So it seems old and everything. And then it's, you know, sing lustily and with good courage. But then the next one, sing modestly. Don't bawl so as to be heard distinct. Sing in time. You know, it doesn't say sing in tune, so... Luckily, for some of you. But I wanted to read this because I wanted you to hear the last one, the last rule. And I think for us, that's the most important. It's sing, above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. It reminds us of why we sing these hymns. It's because we are praising God. And this morning, I wanted to talk about how, about hymns and psalms, about God's greatness. And I wanted to say something to you so that if you leave here and you only get this, this is what I wanted to say in the sermon, okay? So I'm going to say it first so that if I forget to say it or if I get sidetracked by the beautiful music, you'll hear this. And what I wanted to say is that God is so great. And that can't be underestimated. I can't over-exaggerate God's greatness. And I remember something that a friend of mine said. He held up his arm and he said, you know, God is so great that if you take creation as like your elbow, and then this is the span of time all the way to now, you are not even a hangnail. Your life is a blip. Like just a little hangnail in the eternal scope of time. It's way bigger than you realize. And then my teacher that said this to me, he said, he leaned in and he said, this is faith. That you could see with the eyes of faith that even though you are small, you're important and you matter to God. That God loves you so much and God is so great that you matter. That your prayers matter. That sometimes we see the stars, the lofty grandeur of the mountain. We see the conflict in Ukraine, and we wonder if we can make any difference, if our prayers matter. They matter. They matter to us, they matter to God, they matter to the world. I wanted to start with that. Just as we talk about the grandness of God, to know that greatness is in Christ Jesus, who loved us enough to die for us. And there's a sentiment in the last song that we'll talk about that Christ would do that again, but he doesn't need to, because the cross was a once and for all thing. And we see it played out in a million, billion different ways all around us. That's beautiful. When we go to our hymns, one of the hymns that we start with when we talk about God's glory is echoes one of the psalms that I chose today. It's a psalm, and I will always remember this, and I'll tell you why. It's Psalm number 8, and I have an 8-year-old son, and I made my 8-year-old son read this psalm because I wanted to remember it was Psalm number 8, and he's 8 years old. Psalm 8 reads this way, and you can imagine the psalmist and the singing this: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under your feet, all the flocks and herds and animals of the wild and birds of the sky and fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God's magnificence and might, and at the same time, mercy, merciful and mighty, we sing. There are these glimpses in our scripture. One is in Isaiah chapter 6, where we see a vision of the heavenly throne room, right? And it's the cherubim and seraphim in this vision, and they're all around the throne of God, and the angels and all of creation. We join in their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And then again in Revelation, we hear the same thing with this. The veil has been torn or pulled back, and we catch this glimpse again of surrounding God with singing, or God surrounding all of that in every place and every time, singing holy, holy, holy. And our hymn, Holy, 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 is sung early in the morning. Our song shall rise to thee. Any morning people here? Oh, all 10 of you guys. Early in the mornings, our song shall rise to thee. Any late night people? Late in the evening, your song shall rise to thee. What a beautiful thing that is. It's merciful and mighty. I want you to hear this. And sometimes with a familiar hymn, it's good to hear a version that's been slightly altered. Sorry, John Wesley, and your rules. But this is a song that I found through an artist named Sufjan Stevens. And he changed a little bit of the melody of Holy, Holy, Holy. And I invite you to prayerfully consider these words as you listen to Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Song shall rise to thee. shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. There is a hymn in your hymnal a few pages after that one. It's called How Great Thou Art. And this is a hymn that's fairly recent. It's from 1957. And there was a time where this was made famous maybe by in your memory by somebody that would sing with Billy Graham, and that was George Bernard Shaw. And it was also made popular by Elvis, many times singing this song. And the hymn really lifts our mind upwards as we consider the stars, as we consider all the works that God's hands have made. And I loved hearing, I read this week that it was Aristotle who believed that as the stars fly through the heavens, they leave behind a trail of music. I'm captivated by that idea. Where does it come from? The stars that God moves in the heavens. Or Dante, who believed that it was God's love that moved the stars in the sky. How beautiful that is. But there's a line in this song where it talks about true greatness being embodied in Christ Jesus. And that he's not finished. There's going to be a time when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my soul? At Ash Wednesday, I talked about one of the things that we say when somebody dies. And what we say oftentimes is they've gone to be with Jesus, because we believe that to be true, that our loved ones are eternally with Christ Jesus as he promised. There's also something that we say when we want to talk about somebody that's died, and that's that they've gone home. They've gone home. They're at rest. And maybe we could even put those two together. They've gone home to be with Jesus. And so this morning I have the rather sad but also wonderful news that one of God's children, one of God's precious children, has gone home. And his name is Paul Park. And he's a dear friend. And we keep Barbara and the family in our prayers. Many of you are just finding out the news that Paul passed last night. I heard this morning that he had gone home to be with Jesus. What joy shall fill my soul. You know, we wonder about it and we're restless, aren't we? Until our souls rest with Christ, until we're finally home. What that might look like. I love how the song reminds us that it's not just hanging out with our friends. It's bowing before our Maker, humbly adoring forever, when Christ shall come and take us home. Here is How Great Thou Art.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, Christ shall come. With shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
A contemporary song that I've often been struck by the lyrics, and I've never had a chance to just read the poetry in this without hearing it. And so something happens in our brains, I think, when we hear just the lyrics and we pay attention to it in that way. So this is a song called So Will I, and it really, I believe, ties this whole theme together of God's greatness and God's personal love for us in a powerful way. And as I read it and I got the scriptural references for it, there's something in it that's not biblical. And it's one of the very last lines. And the last line it says, and if you gave your life to love them, so will I. Talking about Jesus on the cross. Like you would again 100 billion times. Well, the cross was a once and for all type of thing. But we know the sentiment. It's the same sentiment that if you go through something really difficult and you care for somebody, and then you're looking back on all the sacrifice and all the time that you spent, and you would say, I would do it again 1 million times if I had the chance. I know it was difficult. I know it was hard. I know it took so much, but I do it again. And so the song ends in that way. But when I hear that, I also think the cross was a once and for all thing. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made, every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say, every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. And if the stars are made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times, God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created, the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear, where you lost your life so I could find it here. And if you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done, every part designed in a work of art called love. And if you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 1 billion different ways, every precious one, a child you died to save. And if you gave your life to love them, so will I, like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. That's the song, So Will I.